Hi, and welcome to the Entrepreneur on the Grow podcast series. And this is Jared from the Startup School, and I'm the head of education. Today, I'm sharing the stage with an amazing entrepreneur who has built a business that celebrates community and resilience in South Africa. I'm talking, of course, about Janae Haynes of Matsidiso. I hope I've got that pronunciation right.
Brilliant.
Matsidiso. Janae, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Excited to be here.
Matsidiso has a pretty incredible Instagram account, and I loved looking through it over the last couple of weeks, and lots of loyal fans. But for everyone listening who, you know, doesn't know the brand or hasn't come across Matsidiso, it's a proud local manufacturer and retailer of some of the coolest and classiest shoes and bags you'll ever see. But Matsidiso isn't just a trendsetter, right? Your shoes and bags are made for the bold and beautiful, the truly authentic world shakers and boundary breakers. So tell us a bit more about the essence of Matsidiso and what does the brand stand for?
Sure. No. Okay, so Matsidiso has quite a history behind it. And it's not such an obvious name, even though for us it was a very easy choice to choose that name. So it starts with my mother-in-law, actually, who is the owner of her factory. And she grew up in the Free State, and she had Sotho caretakers when she was growing up. And Sotho friends and just this amazing community around her. But she was the child born after a miscarriage, which is quite sad. But the name given to her by her caretakers was Matsidiso, and it means comfort after difficulty.
Sure.
And so basically, when I moved to South Africa and met my husband and had come here, that story's quite long, the context, the background, but I'll tell you more about that later. But we were digging for a name, and Antoinette, my mother-in-law, had always wanted to create a footwear line from the ballet dancer factory. And when I heard the story of the name, it just really hit home, because it just resonated. It was like, that's the name. Not only because she gave me this opportunity, which is absolutely incredible, being an American who has had no context or history of manufacturing, had this opportunity to design shoes and try something completely new and out of my realm, but also because the factory started with quite a difficult situation, and the context is about resilience of South Africa and how there's kind of hope around every corner, and so that's where the name derived from. That was the whole point of Matsidiso from the beginning.
I get goosebumps when I hear the story, and so it's a beautiful and powerful brand. I mean, I think it stands for so much more than the sort of obvious shoe manufacturing or apparel, particularly in the South African business world. I think these stories are just so important. But on a more practical level, Matsidiso is striving to make a real positive impact in the country, isn't it? You know, we spoke previously where you mentioned that Matsidiso's mission is to sustain the beautiful artisanal skills that exist within South Africa. So I'm always keen to understand how businesses go about doing that. So how are you going about, you know, answering that need?
Sure. So something that, especially after working in the factory, so just to back up a little bit more even, before I ever started with Matsidiso, I worked in the factory for about a year and a half, helping my mother-in-law with her digital marketing. That was my background.
Okay.
And I just fell in love with the factory space and the manufacturing space, and I realized, you know, you get to know your employees and colleagues there, and the footwear team and the machinists, and they have really complex lives. I mean, just the luxury of us driving in cars, and they have to get on sometimes a train or take these public, other forms of transport that may not always be safe, or they have to wake up early, they have to hope to get to work on time. They have a lot of different obstacles than we have, but, you know, show up with a smile, cheeky as hell, so funny. Like, I just loved our team, and I love the manufacturing space, and so realizing there was a massive need to preserve that, because I don't know how many people know, but recently in the Western Cape, the amount of footwear factories that have failed have been immense. There's like over 1,000 jobs lost in the last year. Yes. Just, I mean, in a really important sector. I mean, manufacturing is going to be a big part of the economics of South Africa, you know, ongoing. And so just to focus in on those skills and realize, like, it's footwear making is just absolutely beautiful. Like, to see it actually, there's like 32 components to a shoe, and no one really knows that. And
sure,
so, yeah, I mean, that's like a basic shoe, and that's how many components can be involved in one shoe. And it's actually an art. And so just wanting to preserve that, and wanting to make sure that the families that work with us, you know, hopefully we can hire their children, even if they're interested, and eventually upskill like the youth where there's a massive unemployment gap. There's, you know, those sorts of things to preserve the actual nature of manufacturing and change the context from this kind of undervalued job into an actual beautiful thing that they're doing. Like they are artisans, you know, they're cobblers. They're not, just these machine hands or these human hands that work on an assembly line. So that's kind of where we're really trying to upskill, cross-skill our team so that they are also more resilient in a difficult economy as well. So if they stick with us, amazing. But should they move on to another factory, another position, they have more ability or more higher ability, I guess, because they have extra skills. They're not just skilled in one little area.
Absolutely. I really love the way you talk about manufacturing, because I think there's a lot of misconception around what it is to be in the manufacturing game. And it is such a critical part of any economy, but particularly here in South Africa. And there is an awkwardness around conversations around manufacturing, what it is to be a worker in the space, but it's a highly skilled space and an incredibly
Absolutely.
Important, not just for local economy, but globally.
Sure.
So I love this the concept of supporting a broader South African ecosystem and the sense of smaller businesses also being able to go from the manufacturing ground and build these businesses, you know. And startup schools obviously very aligned to your mission as well. We're striving to do the same thing, to build small businesses, to support small businesses. Mm-hmm. On the topic of South Africa, and I know that you've already mentioned it, and we can hear that you're not from South Africa, but you're a South African entrepreneur. So I'd love to hear a little bit about the story about how an American ends up in South Africa.
No, definitely. And it's been quite a ride, and I love every minute of it. I love South Africa. So my husband and I met way back in, 5 years ago now, in South Korea, and we were both teaching English,
okay,
as you do in traveling Asia, and it was totally by accident that we fell in love, but it's again, that's how it always works. And then, so he had told me about his mother-in-law, who has this ballet dancer factory that was going through a bit of a crisis at the time, and that, during our time together, we had talked about, well, you know, when we decide where we're going to go after this, do we want to go to the States or South Africa? States or South Africa? And it would have seemed like the States would be an obvious, easy answer, just, you know, financially and grounded and whatnot. But there was this opportunity to do something with this factory, and I didn't know anything about it, and it sounded amazing. And also, I think for Christian, he just wanted to help his mom, like, get through that difficult phase, and we would have felt like, well, what if we hadn't, you know, come and been a part of the factory? So that's what's brought us to South Africa in the first place. And then, that's kind of how it all evolved from there. So it started with me doing the digital marketing for her at that time. And, the factory was on the brink of closing. And then we slowly built it back up. And then family business being what it is, I left and came. I left the business because I didn't want to see my family as colleagues after about a year and a half. And then after a year of sitting on the other side and working in another job and realizing, I'm not completely fulfilled. And then her telling me, hey, don't you want to start this footwear line, ages ago? Then I came back and was like, hey, do you guys trust me to try and build a brand here? And they said, go for it. And then that's how it kind of all happened.
That's so cool.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're very much an established, you know, South African in terms of you know, the idea of wanting to do something, you know, and that energy to get in and go, can I make a brand from this, you know, and getting off your feet and doing it. So being an entrepreneur, though, anywhere, and in South Africa as well, it's got some serious challenges, right? And one of the biggest challenges facing most startups is cash flow. And you actually just started mentioning, you know, the fact that, you know, the factory as it stood was on the brink of closing its doors. And so when you started this thing, you didn't have anything really, and you had to, in fact, you were in the negative. And I can tell you, we know there's so many businesses out there and entrepreneurs who are in the same position, and it's not an unusual thing, but it's difficult.
It's difficult.
So I'd love to hear a little bit about, I mean, I know there's no magic wand that sort of says, oh, we can fix the funding problem or the cash flow, but do you have some insight for us as to how you did that, and maybe for some of the other businesses starting, you know, around cash flow, how do we go?
Yes. Oh gosh, and there's like a ton of learning curves in this whole thing. You know, there's a lot of rock bottoms we hit, and a lot of growing and learning. But what I can say for sure is, you know, say in our first year, one of the big learning curves was keep our fixed costs down. I mean, and that's obvious when you're starting with nothing or less than nothing. But it was, I think also really like knowing, again, like the Simon Sinek things, like know your why, what are you doing this for? What's it all about? And having extreme passion for what you're doing. Because anyway, if you're going to start something, you need to have this resilience, and especially in our climate where there's not a lot of cash going around or less than cash, then we had to really care about what we were doing and have keen focus on what the vision was. And so I think things that we had learned, for example, were like the first year we set up this small little pop-up space in a market. I'm not going to say specifically where, but a rental was really high for 5 square meters. I mean, it was like 9,000 for 5 square meters. And I mean, those are things, because you're putting yourself out there. All you see is the end vision of like, this is going to be a big company, and it's going to be amazing, and we're going to take over the world. And then you realize, okay, no, like, you know, while we luckily were fortunate and did well in that space, it wasn't probably the smartest idea to jump in. And once those, you know, if there's a transition in the economy or any downturn and you have those fixed costs, then, you know, you have to keep paying that bill. And there's no leniency on, you know, your rental from one month to the next. So things like that, like really thinking through, you know, I want this, but do I need it right now? Like, is this the best use of my money at right now? And then I guess being marketing minded, naturally, I think it's like A/B testing what works, like always testing. So whether it's digitally, like whether it's social media and saying YouTube works for me or actually Instagram works for me, like really studying your numbers and really saying, okay, if we put X amount of money into this, what's the result and what are we getting back for it? What is our audience like, and what are the best free ways to also like tell our story and get our name out there? Nowadays, content is so important, and while we don't have a ton of content, I think we've really focused on the customer and storytelling and trying to like resonate with people through telling not only our team story, but our customer's story, and just really a lot of storytelling to create a relationship. So while that doesn't seem very cash flow related, I think it's just really looking at your numbers. How can you grow your business in the most effective way, and really studying your numbers, you know, getting to, and everyone says that and it sounds very obvious, but I guarantee when you first start, you just want to throw your, you know, hands at everything, and you want to try everything, and then you can get a little carried away. So at least I got a little carried away. So I think those are just a few tips that
I think that's great. I think the firsthand experience is very important. I think exactly what you're saying, asking those difficult questions and know your why, as you said at the beginning, and when you couple that with closely monitoring your numbers, you're making smart decisions. And it's going to be frustrating, and it's tiring, and you do question yourself regularly, I'm sure.
Yes.
but that's really cool advice. So I know that I don't want to wrap up too quickly, but we are coming towards the end. of our conversation, and I wanted to look a bit towards the future. And I know that there's something really exciting happening in Russia, not so far around the corner.
Yes.
So I'd love you to tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we've been fortunate enough. So DTI has many clusters underneath it that will support, say, the textile industry or the footwear, leather industry, which we're a part of. And something that a lot of small businesses, I think, sometimes miss are all these brilliant opportunities. But about a year ago, we had applied for something called SAFLEC, which is the South African Leather Footwear Exports Council. And it's a cluster for leather footwear industry. And basically, if you're a small business in that industry, specifically focusing on local manufacturing in the leather footwear industry, then you have the opportunity to apply, and then they will basically fully fund about 6 or 7 trade shows overseas in a year. So,
brilliant.
Yeah, so we started with Dubai, now it's Russia, then there's Tokyo, Australia, UK, New York. It's an immense value, and the whole idea is obviously to start to get exports on the go.
Yes.
So they want you to be a bit established and to have a footing. So it takes about a year to get that application in, and then for them to approve and to establish yourself. But there's so many amazing opportunities like that that exist in the country that I think are really worthwhile digging up. And I mean, like with Startup School, you guys have an incredible program for entrepreneurs to learn business through your course. And I think it's so important to take advantage of what is available to you while you can as a startup. I mean,
yeah.
You need all the help you can get.
Absolutely.
So this is an incredible trip. We're leaving on Saturday.
Wow.
Go to Moscow. And yeah, hopefully we'll bring in all sorts of international orders. We'll see.
Well, we certainly will be rooting for you.
Well,
I really love what you said about the opportunities that are out there. I think there is a lot more available than people think.
Definitely.
And quite often, we don't share widely enough as entrepreneurs. I think when we see opportunities, and if it's not perfectly suited to us, we tend to stop there. But it's important for us to be sharing that beyond, you know, into the entrepreneur network to say, picked up on this opportunity. Is anybody else interested? You know, why don't you go for it? You know?
Absolutely. I mean, the amount of people I've told, I've shared SAFLEC, to them, and they had no idea. And it's one of a million different opportunities, you know. There's all sorts of seed funding, sometimes people think, oh, but it's manufacturing. There's no sort of funding available to us, but not true at all.
Yeah.
You know, like any industry, textile, clothing, tech, it's immense. Like there's so much support actually. So yeah, absolutely, do your research and help yourself in any way you can.
Absolutely. Okay, so. One of the things that is, and possibly because you come from a digital marketing background, that your website and Instagram and social presence is just so wonderful. And
thank you.
So I'd like to just make sure that people who want to, you know, go and visit your shop first and foremost, but also just to get a sense of how you're telling the stories, and particularly your testimonials that I see coming through from customers. Where can our listeners go to hear more about you and to support you?
Oh, thank you so much. Firstly, for your kind words. And so we have our online website, which is MattCDSO. Well, it's za.mattcdso.com. For people who don't know, Matt Cidiso is MATSIDISO. It's a very strange name, and I always thought that everyone would know Matt Cidiso. They're like, I was like, it's South African, you know, it's Sutu. But yeah, turns out not many do know. So sorry, everyone. But yeah, so our website tells our story, are about us. Is that answering your question?
Yeah, and then your Instagram account is the same.
Yes, it's MattCDSO_shoes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah, that's brilliant. When I was on the site, it's so visual and so wonderful to see that end kind of finished product. But you know when it's been being made here and manufactured and designed and made and everything, there's something even more beautiful and special about seeing that product there.
Thank you.
Yeah, very, very well done. And
thank you so
it.
Much. Well, I think the whole point of our brand too was to really celebrate. I did not want it to be about me at all, because it's not my story. I actually wanted to share the story coming from our actual team members, the people who are actually making the shoes, the context of South Africa, the diversity, the cultures, you know, just really celebrate what's amazing about South Africa. And there's so many things, but to try to visually tell a story through shoes, which are unusual, but celebrate the African kind of context and the beauty here, was kind of the whole point. So I really, really appreciate that. And our goal is to make sure they have that really South African appeal and feeling to them.
Cool. So we'll definitely put up links to your website and social
thank
media
so
on our platform. But thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us at Startup School.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having us on.
Absolute pleasure.